good morning, guys. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel, and I'm so excited that you guys are here with us today. Today, we're going to be continuing a series that we started last week called the Transformation Project, and we're going to be talking today about transformation and how God wants to transform you, and when he transforms you, he can transform a whole lot of other things as well. If you could open up your Bible to the book of Romans. We're going to start off in Romans chapter 12, and while you're turning there, you can use your phone as well. We have a couple of announcements. On March the 29th, 3 days before Easter, is a Friday, and we call that Good Friday, and we're going to have a special service on Good Friday. On Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m., we would love to invite you guys. It's going to be an amazing time as we celebrate Holy Week together, and then that Sunday, which is April Fool's Day. We're going to have church together. We will actually be here on April Fool's Day. We won't leave you hanging. On April 1st, we're going to have 3 services. That's at 7:30 a.m., at 9 a.m., and at 11 a.m. And so on Easter, it's widely known that people who normally would never step foot in a church, for whatever reason, God greases the wheels of their minds, and he gives space somehow for people to feel more willing to come to church. But did you know that mostly people will come if you ask them to come? If your family, if your coworker is asked. It's not asked. I know that. If you ask them to come, they will most likely come. It's just a natural day for people to desire or to be more open to come to church. We would love for you to do that. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Fikri was here, and he did a great job communicating how God is actively involved in the nations. And we're going to continue talking today about how God wants to transform you. And just to let you know, if you were not aware, that here at Bethel Community Church, we are a church that plants other churches. We believe in starting new churches. As a matter of fact, the church that you're in right now, it was planted here. It was started here 13 years ago. Pastor Lance, Pastor Mike Cantrell, they left Murfreesboro, Tennessee, not really knowing a whole lot of people. And they came and they, on faith, and through the generous giving of others and prayer of others, they started a church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and this is the church that we're in today. So it is in the DNA of this particular church to start other churches. We are also a church that believes in reaching the college campus. That's why we have full-time missionaries at Austin Peay State University. We believe the minds that are there on the college campus today will one day be the leaders of tomorrow. And there is a world that wants to try to conform what their minds are like. And so we believe that the gospel is much needed on the college campus. And we also are a church that believes in world missions. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to go to every person in the world. Now, everything that we talk about today is going to be based on something. We're going to be talking about how God transforms people. But there is a premise behind that. And it's the fact that if you have heard and believed the gospel, that is the beginning point of transformation. What God wants to do in your life, it all begins with the gospel. That you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel in your heart. So very simply, the gospel is that God became a man in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget the gospel. It's important for us to be all on the same page, that God became a man in Jesus Christ, that he lived the life that we should have lived, a perfect, sinless life, that he died the death that we deserved in our place. We are the ones that deserved the punishment that Jesus was given, and he took our place by dying on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, He was resurrected. That's why we celebrate Easter. He came back alive again, proving that he is God. And now he offers salvation and forgiveness to anyone. Everybody say anyone. Anyone who repents and believes the gospel. This is the beginning of how God can radically transform your life. So if you're in Romans chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 2. And if you are not familiar with Romans, Romans is an amazing book. The first part of Romans is it's a theological understanding of what Christ did for us. That salvation is a free gift. We don't have to earn our way to heaven. We don't have to earn our way to have a relationship with God. It's not how many Girl Scout cookies you buy or how many old people you help across the street. That won't help you one iota in your relationship with God. But no, it is a free gift that God offers us. And the next part of Romans talks practically, what does this mean for us now? So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a big question for you today is, are you being conformed or are you being transformed? Are you being conformed? Are you being transformed? The word conform basically means to be like everybody else. It means complying and going along with the rules and the standards and the ways of thinking of everybody else around you. It means if their marriage looks like that, I guess my marriage must look like that. If my life looks like this and their life looks like that, that must be just the way it is. It's basically a cookie cutter life. That your surroundings, your job, your family, your neighborhood, your city stamps out what you think and feel and how you respond to things. And many of us are conformed without even realizing that we are allowing everything else except God, except the Word of God, to shape exactly how we deal with life. For many people in the military, well, this marriage is over. I guess that's just the way it's supposed to be. Well, my kids are a hot mess. Well, their kids are a hot mess too. I guess that's just the way it's supposed to be. And we allow circumstances and situations to stamp out how we think and feel. A cookie cutter life. And that is not the life that God wants you to live. Now, here's the big secret. You can receive the gospel. And you can believe the gospel in your heart and still allow yourself to be conformed. See, God is not going to jump in your body. He's not the big puppet master. He's not a puppeteer. He's not going to make you do anything. You still have a choice in if you believe or if you disbelieve or if you obey or you disobey. Can somebody say amen? So the question is, are you conforming? Where do your thoughts go? Where do they really come from? Your ideas, your dreams. Are they really from God or are they just a composite of pieces of other people's lives that you've based ideologies and decisions and what you do and what you don't do based on the conformity that your life has been structured around? Maybe it's cookie cutter, but that is not what God has for you. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the word transform is completely different. It is nothing like being conformed. The word transform means to make a thorough and dramatic change in form or appearance and of character. The word that's really closely related to that in the Bible is how it refers to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you're familiar with this scene, the disciples, three of the close disciples were with Jesus and they were on top of this mountain. And then there was these great biblical figures from the past. And all of a sudden, Jesus is enlightened. He's glowing. He's like bright light, like the sun. He is changed. And this is the same way that the Bible refers to how we should be transformed. There should be something different about us. Now, if you knew me before I knew Jesus, you would say that is a completely different person. I was not the guy you wanted to be around. But when I heard the gospel, when I believed the gospel, God started the process of transformation. See, in the church, we oftentimes think either you're transformed or you're not, and that's it. And if you're doing this and you're doing that, then you're not transformed. That is not the way God works. He begins the process of transformation in your life. I'm going to give you a little example. In 1984, anybody alive in 1984? Only a few of us. I was born in the 70s. I was a kid in the 80s. And I was a young man in the 90s. And I'm still in my 20s, Pastor Lance. Holding on strong. In 1984, I was 6 years old. And now there was something amazing about the 80s. And for me, the two amazing things about the 80s were we had the best cartoons that have ever been made. Can I get an amen? What? They were like cartoon gold. And the other thing that the 80s had was the best toys ever. One of the greatest toys that was ever made was it changed the game. It was like, poof, mind blown. It was Transformers. And my mom was a single mom. She was a nurse for almost 30 years. And I had an older brother. And so she couldn't afford a lot of stuff. And I got a few Transformers. I got the small ones, you know, the kind on the small package, the little bugs that turned into the robot. But the one that I really wanted was like the cream of the crop was Optimus Prime. And it was like, you know, this is the toy that when you're 6 years old, you're strolling through Walmart and you like see it and it's like, you like freeze up. And it's like, you just don't know what to think. You just discombobulated. You're like, well, I don't understand why mama won't just get it. Cause it's great. And I never got Optimus Prime when I was a kid. And it really bummed me out until 20 years later. I got a big boy job. I got grown people's money now. And the good people at Hasbro, they came out with a 20th edition of Optimus Prime in the original die-cast metal. Pastor Lance or David, will you give me that, please? I got it. Behold. Optimus Prime. And I was just like that six-year-old kid when I saw this. And you can see it's still in the box. I don't even know why I bought it. I never played with it. And it'd be kind of weird if I started playing with it. And I was like, well, maybe it'll be a collector's item one day, and I just bought it. And then I was thinking about how transformation happens in Transformers, and I was on the way to church today, and God began to convict me. I need to give that to my son. But then I was like, I started looking at the box and I was like, it says, but 5+. He ain't old enough yet, God. I can hold on to it. I wouldn't want to disobey the rules. There's safety things going on in there. Smarter people than me know that only kids over 5 need that. And I started thinking, what if I gave this to my son? And he only played with the truck. And never realized the full potential of Optimus Prime, that he could fly, that he had skills, he had a gun, he had the leadership of Matrix in his chest. You know what I'm talking about. What if he didn't realize that potential? And the thing that started to bother me is that sometimes we are the exact same way. God gives us this gift and he wants to transform us. The gift is the gospel. And he uses the gospel to transform us. But if we stay conformed and we never change, we never realize the potential of all that God wants to do with us. What if he never realized the good news that it could transform, that it could be more than meets the eye. He would never realize what the Creator intended for it. He would even begin later on to maybe think that this gift isn't that great. And the one who created it isn't that awesome, only because he can't realize what the original intent of the gift was in the first place. And I'm saying that's the same thing for us today. Until we realize that God wants to transform you, he wants to make you different. He doesn't want you to be a cookie cutter cutout of a person or a soldier or a mom or a dad or a business person or a college student. He's got so much more, but we have the option. We can either allow ourselves to be transformed or we can stay conformed. I'm sure my son would have a lot of fun with Optimus Prime as a truck. But how much fun is that really? I'm sure you will do okay after you believe the gospel and you just allow yourself to be conformed, but not really realizing that God has so much more. Now, the thing I love about when God transforms us is the way you talk may change. Notice I said may. The way you act may change when God begins the transformation project. The way you think may begin to change. The way you see your family may begin to change. Think of the married couple who is just butting heads time and time again. But if you allow yourself to be transformed, remember how it gets transformed: by the renewing of your mind. That means there are some thoughts that I think that may not be godly. But when I find out what God thinks, I replace that. And I begin to think what God thinks. And it changes the way I see my spouse. It changes the way I see my family, because he begins to change my heart as I believe his word. Can somebody say amen? But God doesn't stop there. That's the amazing thing about God, is it is virtually limitless how much you can be transformed if you allow God to transform you. The way you see your neighbors may change. Although you broke their lawnmower, or maybe you gave the lawnmower to a yard sale. That actually happened. Maybe you felt a certain way about them, but now, because God has begun to change the way you think, you rejoice when they get a promotion or when they have a baby, or maybe you grieve with them when they have a loss or death in the family. And God doesn't stop there. The way you see your city may change. When you see that same homeless person again and again and again that you used to ignore, when you allow God to transform the way you think and you begin to think what God thinks about them, now you have compassion for that person. You may not know what to do or how to solve any potential problems that they have in society, but now that person is unavoidable. You can't help but to see them. And your heart goes out and you may begin to pray for that person. You may begin to give to help that person out. When God begins to transform you, it is limitless virtually what God can do in your life. You know what else? God doesn't stop there either. He begins to give you a passion for different places, for different cities, for different nations, for different people groups. You know, we are a church that is a diverse church. I believe that if there's any racist bone in your body, if you allow yourself to renew your mind, God will begin to change and unravel the way you see people. Change the way you see people. People that maybe your parents or your grandparents thought this one way about a certain people group, now they're your best friends. Now you're inviting them out for lunch, and God begins to change the way you see things. Can somebody say amen? You know, last week, many of you heard Pastor Fikri talk about going to other nations and talking about going to Bolivia. And for some of you guys, when he started talking about that, your mind started to change. You started, and this is God. He knows you. He knows you started thinking, wow, maybe I could go to a place like Bolivia one day. And then your conscience started talking to you and said, no, 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 that's dumb. You don't have the money. You got to work. You got a family. You got kids. You got responsibility. You're afraid of flying. You can't do these things. Can I say amen? But something began to change. God did that in you. God began to make you think different thoughts. And you can allow yourself to be conformed, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is replacing those old conformed thoughts with the things that God, he says, go into all the world. Conformed thinking, he says, stay where you're at. And to be honest, I was one of those people, I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to go on mission trips. I gave my life to Christ when I was 25 years old. And I was the kind of person that said, why do I need to go on a mission trip? We got projects right back here. We got homeless over here. We got all kinds of stuff we can be doing. Let them people go and do the mission trip. The super Christians, the holy rollers, let them do that stuff. Praise God for them. Let's pray for them. But it wasn't until I started talking to Pastor Lance, and if you don't know that Pastor Lance can be somewhat persuasive, it's a gift from God, I believe. And I started to talk. He said, champ, you need to go on a mission trip. I was like, champ, I don't know. And then you start running out of reasons. Why am I not? And then said, so I decided to go, and I went to Bolivia. And I want you to know that sometimes you have to be pushed a little bit to get you to the place of where God wants you to be. And that trip, it changed so much about myself and how I saw the world. Instantly, more compassion. I was like the Grinch at the end. My heart grew two sizes bigger. And the way that I saw people began to change. See, God gives you a heart for people, places, purposes. And you know what else? When you hear that God is calling this church to start a church in Birmingham, Alabama, for many of you, God will begin to transform how you see things like this. You may start to think, how will this happen? You'll start asking yourself questions. How does a church just start? What is that like? You may start having questions. Well, in Romans chapter 10, God kind of gives us this small snapshot of how a church plant can actually be started. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, it says, how then shall they call on him, that's Jesus, in whom they have not believed? How can the people in Birmingham, believe it or not, there are people in Birmingham, Alabama, that have never heard the gospel. Every generation, there's a people that have never heard the gospel. Right now, there are people in Birmingham, Alabama, that have never heard the gospel. There are people in Birmingham, Alabama, that have been hurt by church and they don't go to church anymore. There are atheists in Birmingham. There's all kinds of people in Birmingham, Alabama. And it says, but how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And it says, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can you believe in a gospel, some good news that you have never heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without someone to tell them the gospel? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As we even talk about this, many of you automatically realize that all of you can't go. All of us cannot go to Birmingham. Many of you may have a desire, but for real complications, you just could not do that. But we can all help. Can someone say amen? For example, all of us can pray for the city of Birmingham. All of us can pray. How many of you guys really believe that God hears you when you pray? That means that over the course of the next 12 months, as we plant a church in Birmingham, that you can pray that the people of Birmingham, that their ears would be open to hear the gospel, that God would draw them to this church plant. The Bible says that no one will come unless they are drawn by the Spirit of God, and we are an active agent. We can pray that God will begin to draw them. We can also partner with this church plant, partner through the Transformation Project. What that means is give money. Now, in order for anyone to go to Birmingham, Alabama, they need gas. And gas costs what? right? If anybody's going to go and plant a church, they're going to have to stay overnight, and you can't just get overnight for free. It costs money. Now, as much as we know Jesus is in the miracle working business, can somebody say amen? He's not going to make us a money tree. It takes real money, and we can partner, and we'll tell you about that in just a minute. And the last way is you can promote. How many of you guys know somebody that's a Bama fan? Right? Many of you think, well, God's obviously in Alabama because they win all the national championships. That's a lie. Right? It's not because of that. But many of you may be from Alabama, know someone from Alabama. Some of you may actually be called to go to Birmingham, but many of you are not. But you can promote this. You can share this information with anybody else that you know that's going to Alabama. The average person has about 500 people that follow you or like you on social media. One of them is from Alabama. You can share a post about it and they will get that information. See, transformation, all it means is that you begin to think about things the way that God does. You don't allow yourself to be conformed. You know, I want to invite my friend David up and he's going to talk to us a little bit about Birmingham, Alabama. Can you guys give him a big hand?
Right. You know, one of the things about being a church that actually sends is it's actually a reflection of heaven. If you begin to even, as we begin to go deeper into the gospel says that God sent his one and only son. He gave his very best. In fact, the Bible talks about 44 different times that Jesus is the sent one. And in being the sent one, he accomplished a task on earth that is a game changer for everyone. You know, as Pastor Richard said, he died the death we should have died. He received God's holy wrath against him. And then he makes the great exchange, exchanging our record of all the wrongs we've done for his record of how he has done everything right. And now God welcomes us as his children, adopts us into his family, and then begins to restore. So we're redeemed through the blood of Jesus, but then he begins to treat us as sons and daughters based on the blood, and then our lives are restored. So this is the game changer. And this all happened when heaven was looking on earth, and before the foundation of the world, he decided that Jesus was going to be the son that he would send to do that for us. And so as the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we with unveiled faces, meaning there was a veil or a cloth or whatever, just blocking of what is God really, truly like. The Bible says when this veil is removed through the gospel, as we begin to gaze on who God is, it begins to transform us, and we begin to grow in an ever-increasing glory, gazing on the image of Christ. And so when we gaze at Jesus and we see that the Father sent his Son, how could we, right? And I want you to ask yourself this question. How could we stand back and not be a sending church? How could we sit back and see the world in chaos and in turmoil and have God living on the inside of us and us be okay with not going to Birmingham or going to the nations or going to the world? And maybe you're just like myself and Pastor Richard, man, like before somebody ever asked us on a mission trip, you know, it was Pastor Lance, like I was kind of like the same way. I was, man, I'm good, you know, I'm doing ministry here. I'm okay with being here. But man, the amazing thing is that the Jesus, the sent one, sent his disciples. He says, just as the Father has sent me, so too am I sending you. So to actually walk and grow as a disciple, what we begin to do is we look at the image of Jesus. We say, Jesus, I want to be like you. That means we want to send people out, right? Amen? I mean, that's what God's purpose and plan is, to be transformed to the image of who he is. You know, what it takes to be transformed, like Pastor Richard was saying, is to really through the gospel. And what the gospel tells us to do is to come and die. You know, most of the times we think in our mentality of actually coming to church and actually doing a couple things, you know, we think we'll come and grow. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that. He said, when a God calls a man, he calls him to come and die. And really, death is the only way that the kingdom of God is advanced. That's why Jesus made it real simple and really clear. And at the very beginning, he said, if any man should come after me and truly be my disciple, he must die to himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. It takes a death. Jesus himself died to all of what he wanted and said, Father, not your will be done, Oh, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, man. He was in sync with heaven. He always did what the Father did. He never did anything separate, man. And that's what I believe, man. We're a church that wants to live in that capacity of saying, I want to be sent out like Jesus, and I want to send people out like Jesus sent his disciples. And there's a power that when we come together as the body of Christ, literally on this earth, that when we pray, that when we promote, and that when we partner, man, God sends all the resources of heaven into that mission field, and he transforms lives and he transforms communities. That's what happened to me as a college student, man. I wasn't looking for God, man. I was condemned by my sin, man. I was just guilt-ridden. And all of a sudden, a couple people, young professionals and some college students who decided to go to Austin Peay instead of somewhere in Nashville, came and started to tell me about the gospel, started to reach out, started to say, this is what God did for you, and he can change your life. Man, that type of sending power is what's going to transform Birmingham. And it was a bunch of people in Nashville and a bunch of people in Murfreesboro that got together and prayed, and they sent Pastor Lance and Pastor Mike, and lives begin to transform. And so, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, I love this verse. How many of y'all love that verse? It's the verse, right? You might have a t-shirt that says it, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans not to harm you, right? Well, many times we look at that verse and we don't know that it's contingent or upon Jeremiah 29:7, which is seek the prosperity of the city. And when you seek that, when you do this, you too will also prosper. You see, it's as we go into the world, our spiritual inheritance and our blessing is tied to that. Because here's the thing. We might care about our own families, which is a good thing. We might care about our own church family here. But think about this. How big is God's heart? How big does he care about the world? How big does he care about those who are crying out and have not heard? And so they have to go back to their addictions. They have to go back to their situations. They have to go back, and there's nothing they can do with the shame, the guilt, except go deeper into sin. But we have the church. If we are the light of the world, as Jesus said, man, we can shine so that people can see who God truly is. And I just want to kind of tie it up with this right here. Jesus said in John 17:24, I've been meditating on this verse probably for the last 3 weeks. I think it's a very powerful verse. This is what he said. And this is at his moment when he was in the garden contemplating, feeling the weight of what he had to accomplish on this earth. He said this before he went to the cross. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know, last week, Pastor Fikri encouraged us to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He gave us 3 chapters of the Bible. I want to encourage you for one verse this week in 3 words. Father, I desire. If I was him, I would have said, I desire this to be a little bit less painful. I desire for the nails not to hurt as much. I desire not to be abandoned as much. Man, I would have been praying completely different, right? But there was something in his heart of hearts that he knew that he wanted us. And so this is his outcry. So every nail that you see in his hands when you read the scripture, every crown that pierced his brow, every abandonment, every betrayal, Jesus said this, crying out, Father, I desire. And that's our desire, man. That changes all the game changers, because it's going to cause us to die to our future finances. It might you be dying to your future 401k. It may be you dying to certain things that you've planned to do to be able to go on a mission trip. There's certain things in us that have to die, because it's only through the death of Jesus that we receive our true life. And so as we die, church, that's when this world truly can see and this truly and can truly live. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to just be sitting down and not making a difference for the kingdom of God. I want to make an eternal impact. And here's an open window in Birmingham to be able to do that. So can I just pray for us real quick? Father, I just thank you right now, God, for your glory. Lord, I thank you, you can do more with a surrendered life than you can do with a talented life. So, Father, we just surrender our hearts to you right now. God, we surrender our agenda, the way we perceived your kingdom, the way we tried to build our own kingdoms. Jesus, you died to bring the kingdom of God in our hearts, in our lives, and in Birmingham, Alabama, in Clarksville, and throughout the earth. God, I thank you that you're speaking to people. Lord, we wouldn't just live by principle, but we live by the person of Jesus who speaks and who moves and who interrupts all of our religiosity and all of our tasks and all of these things that we plan for our lives. And God, we give you the freedom now to interrupt. God, throughout this time, we pray you would speak to us specifically what you want us to do as your sons who have been sent out. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's give Dave a big hand clap. Come on. You know, we're excited about this church plant to Birmingham.